You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning. I'm Luis Sainz, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Dr. Richard Pineda. Dr. Pineda is one of our colleagues here in the Communication Department. He's also the director of the Sam Donaldson Center for Communication Studies. We're going to talk about the election of the Mexican president and see what we can expect from that race. Dr. Pineda, thank you very much for being with us here today.
You're welcome, Lee. It's a pleasure, as always.
Very few people know much about the election in Mexico and President Peña Nieto and what to expect from that man. But tell us a little bit about, kind of paint a picture of it as far as election goes. And people go to the polls, and unfortunately, right away people think, well, it doesn't matter who goes to the polls in Mexico because it's usually stuffed or corrupt or fixed.
Right. Well, it is an important issue, and I think you're right. I think folks on the border understand Mexico a little bit better, but the political system, especially at the presidential level, is, I think, still difficult to grasp. Some of the key facts that are important: the Mexican presidential term is 6 years. It's referred to as the sexenio. This sexenio that ended had really put the major parties in a unique position. So up through the election of Vicente Fox, the PRI, the Institutional Revolutionary Party, had essentially a lock on the presidency for approximately 7 years plus. So with the election of Fox, there was a real transition from the PRI to the National Action Party, or the PAN. What's interesting with this most recent election of Enrique Peña Nieto is the resurgence of the PRI. And in particular, the reason that it's interesting for somebody like me who studies campaigns and the political language of an election is that Peña Nieto's party, even though the history of the PRI was a fairly checkered authoritarian one, was able to leverage the difficulties of the last 2 years under President Calderón, especially with the drug war, and essentially framed a line of thinking that we've been exposed to in the United States, which essentially was, are you better today than you were 6 years ago? And that line had salience with quite a few Mexicans who, despite concerns of corruption in the PRI, despite the authoritarian history, stopped and asked themselves, am I better? And in comparison, it's very easy to essentially valorize the time the PRI was in power, because you can essentially say, don't you remember the good old days? There was stability. There wasn't this huge narco fight. There wasn't this economic challenge in the way that they've seen over the last couple of years. And even if that valorization isn't necessarily accurate, it's a powerful rhetorical strategy to lay that out and say, don't you think things were better when we were in power? So this election wasn't exactly decisive. And of course, the post-election period from July all the way until his recent swearing in is any indication. There was social unrest. There were riots and protests up through the day that he was sworn in. When he was actually sworn in the congressional chamber, there was hooting and catcalling from opposition politicians. And so even in that setting, it was not pristine in the way that we think about an election transition in the United States. But I do think that even with concerns of corruption and even with concerns of election fraud, relatively speaking, the country is stable. Mexico has made it through this election, and Enrique Peña Nieto, while controversial, at least is a new page for Mexico. And I think that in some ways that will, in fact, by its very nature, create a certain level of national stability, even if there is still pockets of instability in the country as a whole.
The biggest question that I'm sure that people, especially along the border, have is, okay, what's going to happen as far as the drug cartels, the violence, the economy? There are a lot of people who have fled Mexico, and then, of course, there are those who can't afford to. What is the president going to do about that, or is that going to change? And obviously, I mean, can that change in 6 years?
Well, I think that the interesting thing is that the first lesson learned from the Calderón administration was not to prioritize the drug war. And a lot of people, especially if you talk to people who are pessimistic about politics in Mexico, will say Calderón's reaction was driven heavily by what people perceived as an illegitimate transition in the presidency, concerns about voter fraud again. I think that President Peña Nieto is going to try a different approach. And again, rhetorically, at least what he said is, rather than focusing on the cartels themselves as the action point, they're going to push a security strategy that minimizes violence as a whole. And I think that in some ways that is the spin on moving the fight in a different direction. I think the fear that a lot of law enforcement officials have in the United States is that that really this is the precursor to some sort of a deal, something that was seen as early as the 1990s, where the law enforcement officials in Mexico, changed the focus to focus on one cartel as opposed to all of the cartels, and perhaps turned a blind eye to what was going on. So in some ways, I think that this is a strategy that might have a little bit of a shift, because if you're minimizing violence and you're trying to solve that rather than go after the root cause, at least on the surface, you might get a little bit more stability. And if you talk to folks who are daily crossers into Juarez or back from Juarez, they're already saying that there's a change and the sense of stability, at least in the border, has shifted. Now, does that mean that you've really cleaned out the kitchen? I think it's hard to say. I think time will tell. But I think at least from the stated approach that we saw with Calderón, the Peña Nieto administration is shifting. And I will say this. I think it's important to recognize that Peña Nieto in the campaign stage and even through the post-election period, this is somebody who is very much a media president in the sense that they've been very concerned with image maintenance during the campaign when there were concerns that were being voiced in the United States about whether or not corruption could be minimized or the drug war could be shifted. Peña Nieto had emissaries that met with different people in Congress, and he himself has already talked to a lot of people in the U.S. Congress to assure them of not only stability but the perception of stability. Somebody who's media savvy and understands controlling the message, at least on the surface again, probably has a better chance of maintaining some semblance of order. Now, if the issues that came up during the swearing in and some of the violence and those things continue to have some impact on the legitimacy of the administration, that will have some impact, at least in the first year of transitioning into a new set of policies.
It's interesting, as you mentioned, media savvy, because some people have compared this president, the first lady, to JFK and Jackie, and the fact that, President Kennedy was very media savvy. He was wanting to know about camera angles, lighting, etc., and of course, the pretty wife. And the fact that she is a movie star, is this something that's going to kind of elevate that office a little bit and make it, again, as you mentioned, more media savvy, because they know what angles to take and how to deliver the message and who's going to be watching?
Well, I don't necessarily know if the relationship with the wife is that crucial to the image. I mean, it certainly doesn't hurt. But I think by the same token, I think the President Peña Nieto is a politician raised in an era where control of the media and control of your message is really different. And I think that what you're seeing is really the impact of what I like to think of as electronic globalization and the impact on politics, that you no longer are relying on one newspaper to control your message or one television channel, as had been the case in Mexico in the past, but you're really looking at an array of electronic channels. You've got Facebook pages and you've got YouTube channels. And the Mexican presidency and the office of the presidency, something that I've written about in the past, I think recognized the necessity to have this electronic presence long ago. Really, Vicente Fox was the first to kind of push for what he referred to at the time as the eMexico initiative, which was to try to get internet and to get access a little bit more widespread through the country. Well, I mean, the secondary benefit of that is if once you understand what kinds of channels of media you can control, you can play those channels, I think, much more efficiently. And so I think this is a function of being a politician in the 2012s. I think it's understanding that your message can be successful only if you can penetrate particularly targeted groups, that your youth age, that your younger voters are looking at things like Facebook and are engaged in Facebook in that way, that your older voters that rely on the television channels are seeing messages that way. I mean, one thing that folks in El Paso may have heard or may consistently hear listening to some of the Mexican stations that are broadcast into the United States is the prevalence of political advertisements and a form of what essentially is best categorized as a public service announcement by the government that talks about how orderly things are going to be, that talks about the idea of voting. And those are different than even the PSAs we have in the United States, because our PSAs by law are not political, right? You very rarely see people talking about this. But these ads are, these are government initiatives, and we are here to make sure that you have access to these things. And so I think that this transition in terms of how you campaign and even how you run the presidency in Mexico is really now having a big – is being impacted by these electronic media forms.
What about the relationship that we're going to have now, President Obama's reelection? And Mr. Obama is now talked about, you know, establishing a relationship with President.
Well, Peña Nieto was one of the first guests after the U.S. presidential election, after he was sworn in. And, you know, I think in some ways there's a sense of kindred spirits in terms of, you know, being young and energized and the sort of sensibility that President Obama had in his meetings with Peña Nieto. I mean, he heralded Peña Nieto as a change and a shift and a partner they could work with. You know, I think it's easy to do that very early on. I mean, until President Obama gets his Congress in place after the beginning of the new year and can really see what the dynamic is going to be like on immigration, it's hard to say that this is going to be a working partnership. I mean, the reassurance, of course, was that the United States will help, especially combating organized crime and drug-related crime and maintain that relationship. This is a commitment that we've reaffirmed really through the last several years with the Mérida Initiative. And so I think that's going to stay in place. I think the United States' hope is that with Peña Nieto, the conversation moves beyond just narcotics control and immigration control, and then we get back into a conversation about economic partnerships. I mean, we're celebrating the 20 years plus with NAFTA, and so I think that there's a real sense of trying to build off of that. If that happens, I mean, again, you know, a lot will depend on Peña Nieto being able to control the Congress that he has and also the president being able to mobilize the Congress in the United States and see if there's new ground to be tread. I mean, everybody seems to think that immigration is going to be an issue that comes up early in this Congress. I'm a little bit more pessimistic. I don't think it will be, or at least I don't think they're going to make a lot of headway on it. It means the Mexican government probably also will have to have a conversation about how that gets prioritized in their agenda.
Both countries have struggled with the economy. Some people say we're in a recession. Some people have even said the D word, depression. But the fact that, you know, in Mexico, some people say there is no middle class, poor or rich. So are things going to improve specifically for Mexico? Because the poor are the ones who are usually suffering, and they're the ones that are usually, you know, left behind. They're figuring like, well, you know, that's good. They see the commercials on TV, but that doesn't affect them, even if they have a TV.
You know, I think that's a great question. I think Mexico's economic future is really tied not only to the United States in some extent in terms of the relationship we have with them for manufacturing and exports, immigration to a certain extent, but I think it's also tied to the kind of role Mexico can play, especially in natural resources and whether or not they will use their oil as a way to really get the economic benefit not only of having those resources but also what it means regionally for them to be a leader. You know, the difficulty, I think, in Mexico and something I think that's true across the United States and even in other parts of the Western Hemisphere is that these challenges are not just surface level, and they're really the beginning of bigger conversations about corruption, about infrastructure issues. And to that extent, I mean, while I think Peña Nieto has an agenda to deal with that, the success of those things are not just as simple as saying, we will address this. I mean, this is literally taking care of one problem and realizing that by taking care of that one problem, you've opened up for other problems. And so the hope is that with a focus on limiting corruption and with a focus on pushing this developmental relationship between the United States and other countries, Mexico starts to make headway that wasn't possible in the Calderon administration because so much effort and so much time and concern was placed on trying to maintain this war against the cartels.
Richard, thank you very much for taking your time this morning. We've been visiting with Dr. Richard Pineda. Dr. Pineda is one of our professors here at the Communication Department. He is also the director of the Sam Donaldson Center for Communication Studies, and we've been talking about the future of Mexico and also some of the things that may or may not change. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.